James are right with me. Dream Team's all right. Oh yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, Destroy. I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warn Dogs.
And Calvin.
Calvinator.
We are here for Mad Monday of the Mad Monday podcast. The GF has been and gone. It has been a massive year of DT, fellas. We'll go around the grounds because that's how we start. Now, Calvin, you've been saying, Roy, let me go first. Why?
Because I'm a champion.
Oh, yeah?
I am a dead set freaking champion. Why? This week because I'm out of the vest. Didn't I say on the last show I will not wear the vest again? It's been 3 weeks straight.
Oh,
and
wow.
I pumped out a 2,415.
Did you?
Did you bloody change? Did you get 5 trades this week?
I don't know what happened.
Did you play Fremantle?
All the planets aligned and wow. Jesus came down and blessed me.
Well done, Cal.
Thank you.
Great, great way to finish.
Thank you.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank
I'm
you.
Actually very happy for
Same.
You.
Same.
Thank you.
You'll probably play again next year now.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Oh, excellent. Well done. Well, I scored quite a disappointing.
Isn't it always though? Keep going.
Well, it is. I scored 22.85,
yep.
But I had my first donut for the year.
That's unbelievable.
Count the buy rounds.
God.
Two late withdrawals in my backline starters.
And it's not like they were duds either.
No, like they're walk-up players. Well, they are duds. One was Harry O'Brien.
Yeah, that's a dud.
Anyway, Warn Dog, how'd you go?
Yeah, well, I've got the vest 3 weeks in a row.
After
bloody... I'm still the best out of the three of us for the year. I'm going to hang my hat on that. I'm still the best.
Well, you need to.
In Supercoach, though, I did dominate. I got up to 48th overall and won some big finals in that. Looked like a hero. But we're talking about Dream Team, aren't we?
Yeah.
You didn't win all your finals in that, did you?
Oh, God. We might not talk about that later.
Yes,
nah,
please.
We'll talk about it now. You beat me by 7 points.
Yeah.
And I had, like, 2,700.
Yeah.
That.
We scored well in that. That
so, where'd you finish in Supercoach, roughly?
About 500.
Yeah, I was about 800 or 900. So, we should change the name of our show.
It's already taken.
Anyway, let's roll on. Now, Roy, give us your +3 and -3 for this week.
Okay, +3, -3 for this week. I'll start with my -3, and I've made a bit of a rule against doing this, but I'm going to break it. Harry O'Brien.
Oh.
His second game for me, and technically he scored me 0. Yep. Like, he got 0, because it cost me a donut. So, Harry O'Brien with my -3, my +3,
yep.
My boy Rocky.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And there's more than one reason why Rocky gets...
What, he had 140?
Yeah, and it was at Skilled. That is a hard bloody task. Simmons, whatever it's called. Why do you reckon, boys, that... He was definitely my +3.
Same reason that I was going to do it as well.
Oh, yes.
And put him as my +3.
Because we got on him in the Luxbet Calvin Captain's bet.
Yep.
He was paying $9 to be the top scoring captain out of the top 5.
And he did it.
Now, look, just in the defence of the Pirate, I also had money on Rocky. But
that did you?
But purely based upon the value. I also had money. I was heavy on Swan and Stevie.
Yep.
And I had to throw a little bit on Rocky just for the value on
right,
it.
So,
overall, I did not have a conflict of interest in the fact that I won $1 million.
Unfortunately, we didn't actually make him our captain in the Cowards captain.
No, we didn't. But I didn't mind raking in the money for
a guy that I should have made my captain was my +3, and I bought him in this week, Libba.
Oh, wasn't he
good?
How
good is Libba?
Wasn't he good?
I'll tell you what, next year, keep an eye on him. We'll talk about some more 2014 bargains later on. And my -3 had to go to Duffy. 43 points. What the hell is that?
Every year he finds his way into your team, doesn't he?
He squeezed
into it. He's a mess.
Dog, how'd you go with yours?
I'm going to go a combo of my trades for this week for my positive +3 and my -3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
My -3 is going to be bloody Marston. I bought him in, and he was bloody awful. He had a 60-odd.
He looked good the other week when he looked great.
Yeah.
Shuffling around.
God. Anyway, so I bought him in this week thinking that was a bit of a YOLO. A couple of other people bloody talked me into it pretty much because I didn't really care.
Team better, probably.
Yeah, probably him.
He was loving him.
Sabotaged my team every week. But my +3, Mumford. How good was he? I had to trade out Zach Clark, so I got him in Friday night. It was more of the fact that I could watch him on Friday night play, and I was pretty happy. Basically, he's my +3. The guy that did miss out on any little talk from any of us, because none of us have him, would have to be Lee Montagna. Yeah. 189 in the grand final. Would have won people games or lost people games this week. It was huge. I think that was the highest score of the whole year. So
well, the thing is, the reason I didn't get him in is because I was worried about the Crowley tag. I was worried that he would not score well. And he scored the biggest score of the year.
And Crowley actually went to Jack, who had 47 touches as well.
Oh, so he really went to him, didn't he? More like played on a wing.
Right, yeah. Let's look at our season so far. Well, the season that's basically gone and it's been done and dusted. Let's just look back, have a think about your ranking and maybe your review, Roy. How could you sum up your season, Troy?
Okay, my season is summed up like this. I started the year with far too many second-year blues.
Yep.
And I just thought, no, I think this is a year that is going to be proven a myth.
Yep.
And it got me off to a shocking start.
So who are you talking about?
Oh, like your people like Zorko, yes. Toby Green,
yes.
People like that. And Dane Beams, that wasn't second-year blues, but he gave me the blues, certainly. Now, it took me a lot of weeks to get respectable again. I was out deep. The buy rounds were huge for me. The buy rounds got me from about 30,000 to 2,000.
Yep.
I just stayed there the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You and I've been sooking saying I'm Captain Mediocre each week. I have been. I haven't got the top score out of us three. I haven't got the bottom score. I've just stayed at 2,000. So buy rounds were huge for me in what was pretty well an uneventful disaster of a season.
Well, for me, this week was my biggest scoring week by a mile.
Massive.
And I actually jumped down a lot of spots this week. Got me into about 8,500.
Oh, well, you got so top 10.
Yeah, that's not too
well
bad.
Well done.
Good job.
I didn't think that was going to happen.
Oh, no, neither did I, Dom. And it started at the start of the year, you know, with Beams as well, settling for a rookie on your... Can you imagine if we could have had someone else, it just would have changed the whole thing of it.
Yeah.
Then I had a few guys that I started with that I know you guys didn't and a lot of people didn't. So, like, I went a Jack Grimes over Heppel.
Yeah.
Breaks his shoulder. Then I even had Travis Farco instead of a Josh Kennedy. These little 50-50 calls, Captain Hindsight says, bad call, Calvin, and that puts me in the situation I was. So at the end of the day, I think it gave me enough last week to make me want to come back again next
year.
Oh, okay,
right on, that's positive.
Well, call me Essendon, because I started off pretty bloody well.
Allegedly.
I started off very well. I was probably, I don't think I went any deeper than about 2,000 or 3,000 throughout my whole season, which was, you know, pretty happy about. Got myself up to sitting in top 500 for a few weeks there. I think I peaked at about 318th overall after round 15, and then I kept pushing through, as you do, and then I turned to the Bombers crap, basically. Now, I wasn't kicked out of my finals league by the league or anything like that. I was kicked out because I got knocked out in straight sets, so that sucked donkey's nuts, but anyway, that's where my season went. I guess my good and my bad from that is that I did start with a pretty decent side, so I was sort of up there within reach. Some of my good trades, I had Joel Selwood there, he was pretty happy. I got Hibbert early. So some of those sort of improver guys were pretty nice to have within the side. So yeah, pretty mediocre though. I think I'm a loser for the 44 trades, because at the end of the day with those 44 trades, I started doing some rubbish trades, and that's what hurt me at the end of the year. And I finished down at 1438th overall. So still the best out of us three. So I'll take that.
Well,
but,
I reckon you are, because that your team was obviously far more complicated than ours, because the amount of chit-chat you did then was...
And you didn't listen to a word of it.
I'm not sure if anyone did. Monday. All right, we're lucky enough to be here with absolute DT royalty.
Royalty!
We've got Hook on the line. Congratulations, Hook. How are you feeling?
Woohoo, I'm feeling good, guys. How are you?
Oh, well, we're not as good as you. Tell us about your weekend. What happened? Just tell us about it.
Well, Friday night was pretty nerve-wracking. So I had to go down the pub early and have a few drinks, get rid of some of the nerves.
So you had your trades locked in before you went to the pub then?
Yeah. So I've had my trades locked in since teams. Didn't change them.
So what were those trades, Hook? What did you do for the last round, mate?
Well, I thought I'd try and negate Shane's biggest two advantages and bring in Nick Riewoldt and Will Minson.
Nice. Yep.
But I didn't actually gain much from it, because I traded out Jordan Lewis, who scored exactly the same. And I got rid of Hanson, so for Minson and put Cox in my forward line.
Okay,
yeah. Which game? Yeah, that gave me 50 or 60 points.
Oh, nice move.
Brilliant. Now, old Shane, he tried to throw down the gauntlet at you and probably made one of the biggest, or a couple of the bad calls of the year, getting rid of Montagna. What, did you know that he'd done that trade?
I knew Friday night he sent me a tweet. Yeah, I thought it was pretty gutsy. But, he had a crack, good on him. But sometimes pressure does funny things.
Well, that's the thing. You had about an 80-point lead, wasn't it, heading into the round?
Yeah, 86 points, yeah.
Yeah, so it was always going to be tough for him. Well, it's basically an extra player, so you're always in the box seat. Now, at what point of the year did you hit number one?
Week 9, it was. So, yeah, what's that, about 14 weeks?
Yes. How many weeks did you spend at number one?
12 weeks at number one. I dropped the second for a couple of weeks in the middle there. But I haven't dropped below second since then.
Yeah, that's an awesome year. It's a well-deserved win. Probably you couldn't have had a better bloke to win that, especially when you've sat yourself up there the whole year. Nice work.
Yeah, cheers. I think in years gone by, that would have been pretty much impossible without the double trades. So I got lucky.
Hey, Hook, I'm more interested in the fun stuff. Yeah. Have you hit the gas? What's Mad Monday look like?
Yeah, well, I pretty much didn't stop drinking from Friday night to Sunday night. And today I've got a bit of a headache, but I feel good.
Oh, well, good work on winning that 50K. It's what we all dream of. And, well, hopefully one of us can be there one day. But you know exactly how it feels. And you could go back to back. Who knows? Have you started your pre-season 2014 yet?
No chance. I normally play the NBA in the off-season, but I don't even know if I can get myself up for that at this stage.
Yeah, it's probably a good time to go and chat to the wife. I'm sure that you've had plenty of... it's been probably a big season for her as well.
Yeah, she's looking forward to the trip to Melbourne, I'm sure.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Hook. Congratulations from us here at DT Talk.
Good on you, Hookie.
And you've had a brilliant year. We wish you all the luck and have fun spending that cash.
Yeah, and cheers to you guys and your side. Hey, you've helped me lots over the years, so it's good. Thanks.
Thanks. Anytime, Hook. Put the money on check form. Doesn't matter. Just, all right, no, direct debit, anything, mate. That's fine. Thanks, Hook. Okay, it's presentation time. We're going to go through a few categories and have a look at some different awards that we're going to give out. I'm kicking off with the Rookie of the Year now. Warney, in third place, who did you have?
Oh, we had to go Crouchy there. Like, yeah. He did come in late in the season. He still played 14 games, though. Average of 92.
Yeah.
Pretty bloody
awesome.
Did
what a rookie needs to do.
Yeah. Imagine if he would have won this award if he played from round one, I reckon, doing that.
Yeah, and when people are tweeting you saying, do I play Crouch or a premium on the ground in finals footy, you know there's something going on. So definitely a great one there. Calvin, who do you have?
Well, this guy has played every single game. From round one, everyone started with... It has to be Jack O'Meara.
Probably unlucky. Not
very unlucky and slightly controversial.
But he averaged 89, which is bloody good. Yeah, and huge. 89, and played every single game. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, it's very good. Now, although he averaged 89, that is against some big midfielders. So the winner is going to... Dean Turlick for Rookie of the Year. Now... I hear you sucking back air, but I'll tell you why it's Dean Turlick. It's all in relevance to the position there.
Big time.
He averaged 80. Among those defenders, not many were averaging 80.
Yep.
And he was justifiably on people's ground at the end of the year.
Yep.
Now, an 89 for O'Meara on your ground at the end of the year, you couldn't justify
that's not enough.
You're chasing a big 110 from your midfield group. Yeah. So Turlick, because he worked his way into the top defenders of the competition, I'm going him Rookie of the Year.
You've sold me on that, Roy.
Have I?
I was
worried about it.
I think the position has to get it.
Definitely. Okay. That's a really good call.
Right, moving on. I've got the most improved. And although I was going to give it to you, Roy.
Oh, yeah?
For the way you came back.
Thanks.
But I didn't.
This is the award people don't want to get. This is like the little coach's award.
No, this is good.
Oh,
so
your dream team is good, though.
Roy, who sits in third position now, most improved?
Well, do you know what? Big Lornberger was pipped for this spot. He did improve 29. So he had that injury-plagued year where he was premium.
Yep.
After being premium, he jumped back up. However, he does not get third spot.
Yeah.
Brandon Ellis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ellis.
Yep, after those few weeks that, this is why this one's a bit controversial too, those few weeks of being in a vest,
yep.
Very average start to the year, but if you got him in at the right time, his improvement went from, massive. You know.
And you're not biased towards Ellis.
No, I know, but God, he came home scoring some 140s in there, so he had to get in that.
Yeah, my second place,
yep,
and that was old Hibbo.
Oh, come on, Jesus Christ.
Seriously.
Biased at all?
Again, let's talk about position. So in the back line, he improved 20 points. So at an average over 80, gun, absolute yes. gun. I don't know if gun's the right word for him. Right, but as someone that's gone from the 60s into the 80s for average, that's pretty awesome. And there was a lot of people that did think about him as a speculative pick at the start of the year. Got him in and were handsomely rewarded. I missed the start of the year, got on him a couple of weeks later and was pretty bloody happy.
So most improved, and he basically just got to Turlick's average.
Oh, yeah, well, good call. Turlick didn't have a base to get his improvement.
Yeah, yeah, good call, dog.
The winner, and also controversial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Libba.
Ooh. Oh, Mr. Get him in this week.
No, it's your
boy.
I'll tell you why. He went up 20 points. Yeah. Okay. And he's
following his career from the start.
he averaged 97. This is the thing I love this bloke. He had three scores over 140 and eight scores over 115.
It's awesome.
Look, potential Piglet nominee in the future. Yeah. Miles off yet. Don't get excited yet, little fellow oinksters. But he's a long way off yet. But he could be, next year, the next guy to go from that 97 average mark to your 110.
He could, couldn't he?
So, definitely. As far as improvement, yeah, he only went up 90, but he is a massive primo of the competition.
I like it.
He'll be there soon. All right, now for the big one. Here is the pride and joy of DT Talk. Yep. This is the Golden Stubby. So, this is better than the Brownlow.
Oh, it is.
People
it is.
Would get pretty bloody you excited about
this. You heard
Rockliffe
talk about it to us on the phone. He was like, always.
Look, and it doesn't
and that was
always,
just a weekly nomination.
It doesn't always go to the guy who averages the most.
Yeah, the criteria is, well, pretty loose. I've got no idea what it is, really. It's like a little X Factor type thing. Yeah. It's not about their average. It's not, well, I guess, I don't know.
It plays a part. Words cannot sum up the Golden Stubbies. I'll tell you what, if you knocked back about six or seven Golden Stubbies, you'd start to make sense.
You would make a lot of sense.
You can't do it sober.
Taking the equation, the position where they're from,
yep.
the average and the scores they've been having, of course.
Games played.
Haircut.
Price that they've come at. The haircut. Stubble on their chin. It all adds up to it.
How much love Roy's got for him. Rocky didn't get on the list.
What the hell?
He was a nomination.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Look, Roy, who have you got here?
Okay, and Rocky was actually bumped from third spot for this man. Joel Selwood, in the second half of the year, became the man. He was the best dream teamer in the second half of the year, I reckon. You needed to have him.
If you said from the buys onwards, he won the Golden Stubby.
Yep, without a doubt. So that gets him third. Yep. Well done.
Swan.
Oh, no.
And everyone's going to go, but listen, Steve J averaged the most points for the year.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? He did it from 16 games.
Yep.
My pig. He played every single game this year.
Did he really?
As our usual number one call-up captain. Things are going bad. Swanee carry the C. Get it done for us. He still averaged 117. Yes, it was slightly down.
Yeah,
but
that
to
would
be
my argument against.
But to be everyone's called upon captain dog.
Yeah.
To still pump out the scores that he had and carry the C. He is number two.
It's a big way.
Even for all the abusive texts you receive when he does an oink.
But I get a lot when he does.
Yeah.
Oh,
I get these warm, fuzzy feelings.
Nice. All right, well, those dudes didn't win it. The winner of it was, ladies and gentlemen, the Golden Stubby Award for 2013 was Brendan Goddard.
Wow.
Well done, Goddard.
That is excellent. First year at the Bomberland and, pre-peptide, post-peptide, whatever
allegedly.
He is. Allegedly. He came out with 105 average. Okay, great average. He is a defender. That is 10 points more than any other defensive option. And that's really what gets him there. His teammate in Heppel, I think he was next best with 95. But yeah, played every single game.
What are the criteria for this shit award?
Yeah, that's what people are saying, but we do what we want. We'll bloody give it. And the thing is, I'd love to have a bloody beer with Brendan Goddard going around Barnboogle Dunes course or something.
I don't know if I would.
Wouldn't you? I don't know.
Now, here's the deal with him.
Oh, well.
A lot of people had him, yes, but you can't take an award off someone for that.
No.
He was someone you just did not worry about week in, week out.
Yeah.
Goddard, he's playing.
Yeah.
He'll knock up a good score. Yeah. Well deserved.
Came home like a bit of an engine too.
Yeah.
A little engine that could. Now, Dob, you're the big man when it comes to this. Let's reflect upon the season as far as the rule. 44 trades.
Yep.
Things have been changed for us. What, firstly, are our thoughts on that? And secondly, what changes do we think need to be made in 2014?
Dog. All right, well, I've really enjoyed the 44 trades.
Yes.
A little bit sceptical at first.
Very.
But it's kept us, obviously, entertained for the whole year, even when your team does turn to crap like mine has.
Yep.
But it has, and I've noticed that across my leagues. The negative, I guess, teams have become a lot more similar, and there's no sort of ifs or buts about that. But probably not as ridiculous as what some people have made it out
yes.
to be. You know, most finals that I was looking across, there was 8 would have been about the average of uniques. Now, to be honest, I don't think that would be much different to any other year, really, in the finals.
Yep.
What do you think? I don't know.
Oh, look, I agree. But the question is, I guess, teams were becoming very similar, I'm going to say a little quicker than what they have in the past.
Yeah, agree. And I reckon this is my suggestion for next year. I think that our rookie price players, I think the price at about 20, 21, I think they probably need to be over 30 price. So let's
what
say...
What do you mean by that? You're
so priced at about 30 points per game. So therefore their starting price, instead of being that $100,000 or $108,000, they're more like about $150,000 if we're going off this year's figures.
Yep.
So it's harder to... Well, they're not going to gain as much cash during the year. That's going to be a bit of a thing. The magic number needs to change for that. So pump that up a bit. Those starting rookies are priced a bit higher so that when you are cashing down, you're not cashing down and getting that extra 50 grand, for example, that we're thinking about now is going to make a difference. Now, I'm not all the ins and outs of all the how the magic number works and all that sort of stuff and what it does, the total player prize pool bloody money thing or whatever it is, but I think it would make a bit of a difference. So I think basically at the end of the day, what we want is instead of our teams being done by about round 14, 15, as a lot of them were this year, is that, and then just doing all these sideways trades, is that it probably goes on a little bit further. So probably we get through to, you know, about round 18, and then we can do these sort of sideways trades, which is cool. And I've loved that strategy anyway.
Yep.
A really interesting comment I saw on the website last week is going, this guy hated the fact that people are trading out Gary Ablett for the grand final. I thought that, you know, that's what is great about this game. Everyone's got Gary Ablett. People are willing to make some risks, and it probably didn't end up that well this week. But those are the sorts of things that would be great. So,
now,
yeah.
With the trades, I was sometimes the biggest fan, sometimes the, you know, against it, depending on my attitude and how bad everyone on my team was going. But one thing I did enjoy about it, I felt like I copped more carnage this year than I have
in
the past. I hate taking a zero. I will not log in or look at it or stop crying all weekend when I go into the weekend with a zero.
Noticed.
This helped me avoid that.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, I could be social on weekends and hang out and not be really unpleasant to be around. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
A nice thing.
Yeah, so I like that. Now, I want to look at some bargains for next year, fellas. Pre-season starts now. I was talking to Hook. It got me a little bit excited.
Yeah, didn't it?
All that money, partying, drinking.
Yep.
So I just wanted to see if you guys have got anyone on your radar. It might be due to injury-plagued year, maybe down on, you know, a bit of form. What do you guys reckon? Anyone you like?
Well, can I start off with a guy that I gave a little bit of a test run this year?
Who?
Aaron Sanderlands.
Yes,
and this is the reason
for it.
This is the reason for it. His average is about 50 from 7 games. Probably won't quite get a discount, but he's bloody discounted if he's priced at 50. He's averaged well before. He's done 93 plus in the last 4 years as an average.
That's nuts.
He's a premium player, as long as his body's right and all that sort of stuff. But if he's fit, does a pre-season, you're picking him, aren't you?
Oh, big deal. Look, there's a couple of other guys in the same sort of area where they have had a low off year with their average dropping a bit. They're going to be pretty juicy for the picking, but they're going to be that, you know, that mid price or just that slightly up on what we'd class as mid price. Even someone like Buddy, average 78, he's averaged over 100 his last couple of years. And then you look at your rucks, you've got guys like Big Boy McElroy.
Yeah.
God, I hate that annoyance. So he's
been
actually
down though.
No, he's been 24 points down on what he was last year. Marek was 24 points as well down on what he was. And then you've got to look at McIntosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rux could be huge.
Hey, Mac said he is prime. Like, I've heard it from Paul Feller a few times before, but he said he is primed for pre-season and next year. If he gets named, he is in.
He's everyone's Lundberger for this year.
Now, and what's going to be good, though, about those guys is actually that might mix up a fair bit this year.
Yep.
Is Cox a walker? Probably not.
But even there's a couple of other ones in there. Like even Mark Murphy, he's 15 down on what he was last year. And even, 25 down on what he was in 2011.
Brandon Ellis averaged 102 in his last five games.
Yep.
He is priced at 79. Now, my concern, he could be purely named as a mid because he played wing.
Massive chance.
So, wow, that's a ballsy pick, but it's probably a good one.
All right, what about some dual position then? Like, can we see anyone actually losing a bit of a tag here and being put in the back line?
I don't know. I've seen a few people that I think should be eligible for DPP next year.
Hit me.
I'm looking at Sam Mitchell, who's been lining up on a half-back flank. He only averaged 96 this year. If he had DPP eligibility...
Could make him relevant again.
Yeah, he'd be your first pick. David Swallow. David Swallow was starting in defence for a lot of the year.
Yep.
Now, we are always waiting for David Swallow to have his breakout
here.
He averaged about 70 this year. He could go bang.
Yep.
As much as it pains me to say this, we've seen what he could do in his rookie year. Toby Green, he's coming into his third year breakout now on the back of his second year Blues. He only averaged 77.
Starting pick for you.
Well, he was horrific, but if he is dual position, someone with that potential...
And price that low now.
And price that low.
Even chucking his teammate Zorko. He averaged 74 this year.
Is there a trade on the cards?
Oh no, wrong team!
Mad Monday.
Yes, Calvin. They were both in my shit team to start the year.
Zorko averaged 74, down 20 on what he had in his first year, second year Blues. So, look, both guys in their third year breakout. And what about Carrazzo? Averaged 63 this year from 10 games, averaged over 90 in his last two seasons.
If he could get DPP back to the...
Back to the good old days.
Yeah, he'd be well worth consideration.
Now, there's plenty of stuff that we'll think about with that. I reckon there'll be articles galore over this pre-season about those sorts of guys that we think could be cheaper, DPP, all that sort of stuff. It's going to be a long pre-season, boys. I can feel it again. All right. But before we really hit pre-season, we've still got match day going on. They've relaunched it for the finals, which is great. So that's the game where you pick eight players for a game. It's really nice for these finals. They've actually given us a bloody $1,000 prize for every game. So
I'm pretty
happy about that. So there's eight games over the finals that they're doing it for. So this weekend, they've got the Friday night game, Saturday night game, and the Sunday game. So after each game, or after they do the lockout for it, it'll reset, and then you can pick the side for the next one. So there's a grand up for grabs each game for that, and then it goes all the semis, the prelims, and then the grand final. I think that's worth $3,000, actually, for that one. So you can join our league in that one. Code is 612-437, and it's thousands of people in it already, so that's huge. And that will be a fair bit of fun to go over here, and it takes you no time. You can pick a team in 5 minutes. And
I reckon
so,
I can win
no
a game,
stress.
Right?
But oh no, that's the thing. There's still
Calvin's
a chance.
The informed player, actually.
Actually, Calvin's strong.
It's funny because everyone's been messaging me saying that. Cal, who should I get? This guy, and I'm going pick your own team, mate.
Hello.
Bring it on.
Now he's here going pretty well.
Yeah, all right. So it's time to wrap it up. Big thank you for this year. It's been huge. Got to really thank our riders, T-Better, Dunny, McGrath, Anthony, Jepper, Lefty, Jim Bob, Matt Craig, Nix, Rain Man, Aki, TT, Adsman, Rob Dog, Krat, all the guys. So in the preseason, a lot of those guys did some awesome work for us.
It was awesome.
Guest riders that have been there throughout the year, there's quite a few of those guys. Big thank you to all the players that have been a part of DT Talk this year, especially to our boy Rocky, Maxi. Those guys have been bloody brilliant to us. So, and all those other guys that we've chatted to during the year, Jesse Lonigan and Jacko Thurlow, gave us some pretty good insight during the year too. So thank you to them, and big thank you to our sponsors this year. Definitely meathead.com.au, and the big one was the bloody thing that I'm wearing at the moment, the Green Vest sponsors. Thank you very much to Workwear Hub. Workwearhub.com.au if you need any workwear gear. They are legends, and we've been very pumped with them. Awesome prizes throughout the year and have looked after us big time. But that's it for Mad Monday for this year, boys. That's our podcast for the 2013 season.
Got a bit of a lump in my throat.
It's a sad time.
It is.
Make sure you stay tuned to our Twitter account and also Facebook and to the website, because when it hits the... not too far away when pre-season kicks off for good, That's all the good shit's going to be right there.
That's good. And I reckon we'll keep the podcast going over the pre-season too, like when we really start ramping up things next year. So be ready for it. And thanks very much to everyone for listening. I reckon it's time to blow the siren on the season.